You're listening to DraftKings Network. You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hang on, Ken Russell got a, I just won something. UM sent him a cease and desist letter.
Oh, you caused that?
I did, yeah. He used the University of Miami's trademark logo to promote an event of his at Titanic, and the insinuation, of course, being that the University of Miami endorsed him. So in addition to being trademark infringement, it's also likely a campaign violation that I'm sure the FEC will like to hear about. And it's appropriate, of course, that Ken is having an event at Titanic, which is a great bar, but his campaign's a sinking ship, so...
Are you ready?
Dad jokes.
Are you ready?
Ready, I thought. Ready, I thought we were doing it. I thought we were doing the thing.
We've already started. We started with a cold open of you you typing at your computer and saying, I finally won something. I got Ken Russell in trouble. There's a cease and desist. This passes for a great victory for Billy Corbin.
All I do is lose, no matter what, Dan.
All right, we'll start there then. You've been wanting to talk about Ken Russell for many, many weeks now.
I haven't wanted to.
and then we keep talking about other things and don't end up talking about Ken Russell. So before we get to Esther Alonso and the awful thing happening to her, the human thing happening to her as government run amok, corruption run amok in Virginia Key ends up swallowing a woman who doesn't deserve to be swallowed. And before we get to Fernand Amandi and he tells us how to vote, what's happening with the polling numbers and what it is that we're headed toward next week with a big week of voting. Before we do that, let's get to Ken Russell finally after 3 weeks of ignoring him, your nemesis, Ken Russell. Where are we with him?
Such a putz. I mean, this guy, like, he just can't get out of his own way. It's amateur hour. It's clown town. It's silly season. It's because Miami. I mean, he's just been a terrible city commissioner for 7 years. This is a guy, Dan, who never voted in an election before until his name was on the ballot. That's what kind of narcissist ego case we're dealing with here. And he's running this congressional campaign that is not a campaign, but it is just a pure ego feeding quid pro quo for his corrupt vote on the Mel Reese real estate hustle on the soccer stadium shopping mall.
He was against it. He was against it. And then when he was the deciding vote, he caved
for nothing. He got nothing that he said he wanted, nothing he claimed he was holding out for. He just all of a sudden caved. And why did he cave? He caved because Francis Suarez promised to help to pay him back through this congressional campaign, through donations that he can have his way with. And what he's doing is so destructive because he's doing it purely for his ego. He's got a Republican mayor who's quote unquote helping him by calling people up, shaking them down. Because the guy's a sitting commissioner and Francis is the mayor and basically saying, you want to do business with the city, you better pay up. You better, quote unquote, donate, basically bribe Ken Russell by donating to his campaign. Otherwise, you're screwed with city business. So these are lobbyists and vendors and contractors and special interests with business before the city who can't donate to Annette Tadeo, who is the far more capable, qualified. She's a state senator. She is in polling, not only beating Ken by like 50 points, but she is head to head with the Republican incumbent, Maria Elvira Salazar. So she's the real opportunity for the Democrats to flip that seat blue. But yet you have a Republican mayor in Francis who's trying to essentially sabotage the Democrats' chance to flip this because of Ken's ego, meaning donors can't donate to Annette because they're being shaken down to donate to Ken,
which is what Suarez promised Ken Russell in exchange for, can you just flip flop on the Mel Reese deal?
It's not a campaign. It is a criminal quid pro quo. We are watching in public a payoff happening between Beckham, Moss, Francis Suarez, and Ken Russell's bullshit congressional campaign. That's all this is. Okay.
They got his vote by tricking him into thinking he could, with money, his narcissism, his ego would win.
I don't know that it matters because he's going to have all this money because he can use this money. He doesn't have to return this money if he doesn't spend it and he loses. He has this money. He can live off of this money. He can try to be a kingmaker. This is a guy who, again, calls himself a community organizer, but never voted before his name was on a ballot. He won his first election because his opponent dropped out of the race weeks ahead of the election. Okay. And now he has basically just been an embarrassment to the city. He has betrayed his constituents. Coconut Grove has fallen. Virginia Key has fallen. It's become the least affordable housing market in the country. This guy has done nothing for nobody except for himself and Francis Suarez and the corrupt special interests and developers in this town. Calls himself an environmentalist, which is a comical outrage. This guy has done nothing, Dan, but look for another race. 2 years into his first elected office, in his first race, in his first election as a voter, this guy announces he's running for Congress. And then he drops out of that race. His constituents are like, what about us? Don't you give a shit about the city? You're not going to finish your first term in office? You're going to go run for higher office? So he drops out of that race. Then he runs for re-election for the city commission and promises unequivocally, I am here to stay to complete my second four-year term. I'm not running for anything else. 2 years later, he's running for Senate in the state of Florida against Val Demings in this Democratic primary. And everybody's like, what are you doing? So he goes, okay, I'll drop out of that race. And now I'm going to enter the congressional race in the 20. The guy's run for three different offices in the last 3 years. I mean, it's pathetic and it's absolute transparent corruption. And the latest is this Yutz advertises an event at actually a great brewery, a very popular place called Titanic, next to the University of Miami campus, next to the All Cane store, really popular spot, a great place in Coral Gables. And he's got this flyer that it's a University of Miami meet and greet. I don't know how it's a University of Miami meet and greet. It's not on campus. It's, you know, it has nothing to do with the University of Miami, but taking up about a quarter or more of the page of this flyer, and it's papered all over the campus, it's all over the internet, is the U logo, the orange and green. And I opined on social media, I'm like, did the University of Miami endorse you? Because the U logo on this campaign flyer certainly implies that, and using it without permission is not only a trademark infringement, but it's likely a campaign violation.
I gotta ask a question. Does he know anything about law at all?
He doesn't know anything about anything. The guy is literally a champion yo-yo player and like a paddleboard salesman. Those are his sole qualifications. He's running against a woman who fled to the United States from Colombia after her father, who was a World War II pilot. This is Annette Tadeo. Her father was kidnapped by Marxist rebels in Colombia, financed by the Cuban regime. They flee to the United States. She starts from nothing. She builds a successful small business. She overcomes adversity left and right and becomes the first Latina Democrat ever elected to the Florida State Senate. And now she's running, by all accounts, head to head against the Republican incumbent in Florida's 27th district. This is a woman whose credentials are unassailable. None of that socialism, comunista bullshit sticks to her with her background, number one. Number two, all of her positions are not just mainstream Democratic positions. Her positions on healthcare, on abortion rights, on gun control, they're all consistent with the mainstream of Miami-Dade County, the vast majority of American voters, and certainly Florida's 27th congressional district. Okay, this guy is just constantly in the way. He has no constituency. The progressive caucus of the Miami-Dade Democrats completely disowned this guy. He has no constituency. He has no base. Okay, his base is TikTokers. That's his base, which is fine and well, but it doesn't win an election and it doesn't pay to allow him, in collusion with corrupt Republicans, to sabotage a race that the National Democrats have already tagged as having real potential to flip a seat back to blue. It's a seat that is traditionally blue. But this guy, I guess, sees my tweet and he immediately deletes his tweet with the flyer with the U logo right away, I'm thinking like, well, maybe that proves my point. He is a con man and a liar and a grifter.
Well, in my eyes, you just did him a favor. So he should do us a favor and come on our goddamn show.
You've been calling. You've been asking. You've been searching for him.
Near, far, wherever you are. To make another Titanic reference, only appropriate, by the way, that this event is at the Titanic Brewery because his campaign is a sinking ship.
That joke already landed poorly when we did the cold open before that is being kept in. This is your second time. Yes, you idiot. You told me to keep it going. And then you just yes, it's the second time that joke has made an appearance now. They heard you workshop it because Roy has been rolling since the cold open.
This is what I get for testing material in front of a live mic.
But you didn't get a good response in front of any of us. You said it was a dad joke, and then you went in and made it again.
There's nobody here. What are you talking? There is somebody driving around laughing his or her ass off right now as we speak.
Oh, this guy is here.
That's right.
That's my biggest fan right there. But Ken Russell reposted a flyer, this time without the University of Miami logo. And I'm thinking, I wonder if he got a cease and desist letter from. I actually tweeted this earlier this week, opining aloud. Did maybe he got a cease and desist letter? And Ken Russell, to his credit, posted this tweet. Point Billy Corbin. I received this cease and desist from the University of Miami. The logo has been blurred to avoid any further action. He actually blurred the logo in the letterhead of the cease and desist letter. And I will tell you, when you have a trademark, you are obligated legally to enforce it. It's like a use it or lose it thing, right? So if you see a violation, the university is obligated to basically say, yo, you can't do that. And this, I will tell you, I want to write a song using this cease and desist letter as the lyrics because it is a sternly worded letter, to say the least. It is absolutely, absolutely brutal. And as Ken Russell himself admits, to his credit, is well deserved.
I don't know how to make sample ballots interesting, but I'm about to go on vacation. I'm about to vote early, and I just downloaded and printed your sample ballot. So tell the people what they need to know here, because next week is a big week of voting, and if people need to get out there early, give them some guidance here.
Dan, this cease and desist letter, you should print this out. This letter is it's so good. It's so good. I might need a moment here to myself, if you don't mind. It's so good. I'm sorry. Irregardless, I digress.
Are you going to read the letter? Are you going to keep here shitting around? So are we going to do sample ballots, the important thing, or are you just going to read a cease and desist letter?
So, by the way, early voting is on now. Any of the early voting locations that are open, you can go to in the county. You don't have to go to your precinct or even one in your neighborhood. If you're anywhere in Miami-Dade County and you are a registered voter, you show your ID at any of the two or three dozen early voting centers. I think they're all open till 7 p.m. this week, going through Election Day, which is the 23rd. You could go to Miami Beach City Hall and vote, and you could bring in your printed sample ballot with you. So you don't have to just memorize all of some of these are very obscure races and obscure candidates.
And if people want to get your information, they can do so Instagram and Twitter if they want the research done for them.
Yeah, my current pinned tweet is my sample ballot. My current pinned Instagram post is my sample ballot. I went through a lot of trouble. And for people thinking like, I'm not going to vote the way Billy tells me, there's Republicans on that list that I've picked. A lot of local races here are nonpartisan, despite the fact that some of these candidates are, in fact, either registered Republicans or Democrats and or supported by the parties themselves locally and or nationally. We're forced in these nonpartisan races to sometimes hold our nose and pick the best of the worst. Some of them I'm passionate about, like I'm excited about the candidates that are running, but many of them are just an effort to, whether they're Republicans or Democrats, just save democracy and just spare us from the worst instincts of the far right or the far left, for that matter, and avoid the extremists, because this ballot is one of the worst I've seen in Miami-Dade history. It is a minefield. It is a cesspool. And if you step on the wrong pile of crap, you are going to set off, a tectonic shift in democracy and in your local government. And these local races, people always pay so much attention, glamorizing and distracted by these national races, like for president. But the people who affect your life on an hourly basis are your local officials, are your city commissioners, your county commissioners. These are the people that really make an immediate impact and difference in your life. So it matters most who you vote for in these races, even more so than president. Also, on my Twitter, you can find the cease and desist letter that the University of Miami...
There, do it that way. Give us a couple of sentences then. The cease and desist letter will be pinned on his Twitter account if you want to read for it yourself. Look at him. Smelling like the way I do when I walk past a bakery. He is sniffing in the cease and desist. Please stop making those sounds.
I'm getting uncomfortable here, man.
Please stop making those sounds.
Fresh warm pastelitos.
Give me a sentence or two from the cease and desist before we lead into this really just brutal, heartbreaking story of something going on in Virginia Key that shouldn't be going on.
Dear Mr. Russell, it was brought to our attention that you are using the University of Miami's name, logo, and trademarks without permission in media press, promotional materials, flyers, invitations, and other campaign advertising. The University of Miami is the owner of several trademarks, including but not limited to your unauthorized use of university's marks is not only a violation of the university's long-held trademarks, but the use of the university's marks may cause consumer confusion, mistakes, and deception. Persons familiar with the university's marks are likely to believe erroneously that you are authorized, licensed, or sponsored by the university when that is clearly not the case. As the result, it just goes on.
It's just boilerplate, though. It's just boilerplate cease and desist.
Demand is made that you immediately and permanently cease and
desist. This is what it sounds like sensually when Billy wins something. All he's won is he's sitting here shouting on street corners every weekend with a megaphone, yelling about corruption. And what passes for a victory around here? The University of Miami wrote a cease and desist to Ken Russell.
Your failure to immediately abandon, will leave the university no choice but to pursue any and all legal
and
equitable
remedies. Turn off his microphone.
This is making me
uncomfortable.
The last sentence in all caps, please govern yourself accordingly. This is a guy in government, Dan. This is a guy who can't whip two votes on the city commission who thinks he's qualified to go to Congress. I mean, because of Miami, man.
Starting is everything when it comes to fitness. Peloton helps you start no matter what level you're at. Wherever you're starting, there's thousands of classes to get you moving. Whether that's beginners or advanced rides, feel-good live DJ rides, or artist-themed rides, they've got something for you. Peloton bike instructors keep you motivated from day one. They'll show you the basics, help take the guesswork out of your workout, and encourage you to build from there. And now with Peloton Entertainment, you can keep moving and watch your favorite TV shows and live sports as you ride. Perfect for those days when you don't want to miss a thing. And if you don't have a bike, take a dance class, take a core class, take Pilates, take a stretching class, start a program with Andy, do a core program with Emma. You can do it all at Peloton. You can get a Peloton row, and you're not even going to get wet because it's inside your own house without water. How'd they do it? I don't know. Wherever you're starting, get moving with a Peloton bike or bike plus rental at onepeloton.com/bike rentals. Terms apply.
Always good when Billy gets extra outraged, and he's brought in Esther Alonso here with us so that people can feel how outrageous some of the things that Billy has been claiming for a while. They keep happening around here. We've told you about Joe Carollo and how he's basically armed guard for state militia with the way that he behaves with ball and chain in Little Havana, and now you've seen what's happened over the last couple of weeks with Virginia Key. Billy, get people caught up on what we've done the last couple of weeks and how appalling this is, what's happened now to Esther Alonso, the founder of the Virginia Key Outdoor Center.
Yeah, City of Miami is my favorite telenovela, this government. But the problem is there are real victims. In this case, Esther and Ball and Chain, as you cited, private businesses that are being retaliated against for political reasons, that Joe Carollo is sending out literally armed police officers to threaten, to arrest, to, in this case, shut down a business and put their employees out of work. Virginia Key is an extraordinary resource. First of all, it is an enclave for all kinds of marine life. It has the historic Black Beach that we talked about with Uncle Luke. It also has bike trails. In fact, in the city of Miami, it's one of the few beaches we have. You realize that city of Miami itself doesn't have the beaches. Miami Beach has the beaches. But here at Virginia Key Beach and on Key Biscayne, that's where the only beaches in Miami are. Esther owns a business, the Virginia Key Outdoor Center, that rents kayaks, paddleboards, bicycles to locals and tourists alike in the northern part of the island, home to where the famous Jimbo's restaurant used to be for a lot of years. She won a contract from the city through an RFP, a bidding process, about 7 years ago for this business. The city is her landlord. And all of a sudden, after Joe Carollo announced this homeless concentration camp that he wants to bus all the homeless people over, rezone and redevelop this island property, which, by the way, he's been trying to do since 1985.
It's a valuable piece of land.
He wants to put a theme park and condos in. But first thing he wants to do is blight it and, of course, rezone it, get all the water and the power and the infrastructure, make a lot of people a lot of money, including himself, but put people like Esther out of business. Because out of nowhere, she came forward, as did the mayor of Miami-Dade, as did the county commissioner in this district. Everybody came out, almost universally reviled this idea of Joe Carollo's. And Esther came out as well. And so what happens? In retaliation, the Tonton Macoot shows up. Armed police officers show up at her business last Friday, ahead of a no doubt would have been a busy and lucrative weekend for her and for City of Miami, because she pays rent, I believe, on a revenue share basis. So the City of Miami taxpayers benefit when she does well. And they shut her down. They threatened to arrest her employees. They cited back rent that she owes, all this stuff, and they shut her down. And here she is, trying to save her business and save, most importantly, Virginia Key.
Thank you, Esther, for joining us. Why don't you take us through and tell us what it is that happened to you?
What happened? Wow. We got shut down. Police came on site. Code enforcement came on site. It was a large showing. I was trying to get there to get whatever paperwork I had that I thought was what they needed, and I didn't get there in time. But they asked us to stop service, and I told my staff, stop. If they're telling you to stop, stop. My manager, Diana, she had to sign an arrest affidavit. This is a young woman that's never had any criminal dealings at all. And she now has to go to criminal court, over a zoning violation. Regardless of whether or not there's an issue, if the law in the city of Miami says that you go to jail for a zoning violation, for a code violation on a first notice, that's criminal. I mean, I'm not serving alcohol. I'm not putting anyone in any danger. I had my inspections. I've been there for 7 years. If there was an issue, I would have thought that somebody would have said something and said, hey, you got to fix this.
What are they saying that you're in violation of? Is it back rent?
They said I didn't have a business tax receipt and a certificate of use. I thought I had a certificate of use. They're saying I have to have a business tax receipt, so I have to get a business tax receipt. I wasn't aware that it was something that I was out of compliance with. We're on city property. It isn't private property.
Well, that's the point I wanted to ask, Esther. The city is your landlord. You've been operating there for 7 years with a lease with the city. So how all of a sudden do they come in? What are they responsible for? I mean, you're a tenant, right? Is that accurate?
I'm a tenant.
Right.
I'm a tenant. And actually on Thursday, we knew something was up because sometime in late May, they said that our lease was over and we're going out for bid. And I said, hey, hold on. My lease isn't over because we have all this tolling period. And originally it was a 5-year lease, and under waterfront leases, they don't allow anything longer than that. But there was construction work that was being done on a seawall that was anticipated would take about a year. So the premise was that there would be an opportunity to toll the lease during that time so that we didn't get, we didn't lose a whole year on a 5-year lease. What we didn't expect was that we would have Irma and that we would have COVID. So during Irma, we had to move from the location because the city was dumping illegally in that very field that's the subject of this whole, fiasco. So we moved over to Marine Stadium, to this rundown building. And honestly, I was happy for the opportunity to just be able to work and give my people work. And people came out because after a hurricane, everybody was like desperate to get outside after being locked up for 2 weeks. So we were there until almost December. And then we had to go back to a regular space, which they were still in the process of cleaning up. Ever since we started operating there, it's been just one disruption after another. I think maybe the last year is the only time that we've really had an uninterrupted opportunity to operate.
But do you believe that they have any grounds, or do you think this is obviously retaliation for you being publicly against what they were going to do with their project?
I do, because when you're in business and when you have a dispute, you try to come to a resolution. Now they're saying that I was difficult in getting a meeting with them. I had a meeting at Commissioner Russell's office on August 11th, Thursday, that his office facilitated because I couldn't get an in-person meeting with anyone from Parks or anyone from real estate to discuss what was coming up. And I don't think it's unreasonable to ask, hey, What's the plan here? How do I plan ahead? What's going on? You know, look, if I had to rebid for the space, I had to rebid. We had been trying to get in front of them to present a proposal. And their response to me was, well, go to the unsolicited bid process, which is a really expensive and drawn out process that still goes to bid. But at the same time, they're getting into all these other deals that are for-profit bid deals. And this is going through our nonprofit that we established. So there was a resistance, which didn't make sense.
The city's making a play, right? I mean, the city's making a real estate play for the property, no?
City's making a play. I'm in the way.
Right.
All of a sudden, they're reneging on all the tolling periods for and their rent abatement.
Right.
So then they're claiming, oh, you owe me all this base rent. Well, ironically, I took documents with me to that meeting, and they asked me not to give it to them, but to email them, which I did the next morning, including a spreadsheet. Because on the 9th, I get a list of the payments that they credited to my account. And some of them, there's two types of rent. There's annual rent, and then there's monthly rent. The monthly rent was problematic to begin with. It's not a large amount. It started at $750 for the first year, went to $1,000, and then increased 3% every year thereafter, plus sales tax. And they also add this thing they call a pilot fee, which is payment in lieu of taxes. And I looked that up, obviously, after all this closure. And what I read is that it's when the federal government reimburses a city for tax revenue they would have lost for the use of the land.
Mm.
Well, the city of Miami apparently has decided that they also apply this to all the leases. But it's not a huge number. It's $70 that increases every year by 3%. So I do the calculations, and what I come to find out is that what's actually happened is that I was being overcharged rent. Even if we count in those 16, 17 months where there should have been base rent abatement, where the rent wasn't due, I've overpaid my rent.
Do you owe any rent? And even if you did, or there are code violations, what kind of warning did you get from the city before armed police officers came in threatening arrest and shutting your business and your summer camp down?
Pretty much none. In the last year, there has been such enormous disorder. They hired this new person. It's like talking to a debt collector. When she told me that I said certain things, I said, I didn't say that. Communicate with me in writing and I'll send it to my accountant and my attorney. I mean, I didn't have an attorney at that point. I still don't now. I'm in the process of trying to hire someone.
Esther, you're looking at this, you're Cuban, and does this feel American to you?
This is how we lost our countries. All of our Latin countries have fallen to this type of just extremists. And you know, and people have this whole communist, fascist thing. You know, if you really look at them, there is no difference. It's just, they behave the same way. They're gangs of bullies, and they come after you, and they take a little bit of something that might be based in some grounds and some, you know, reality. And then they spin it into this character assassination and accusation and persecution. Because if this was a problem, then why were they going to be discussing anything with me moving forward? When I left that meeting, I left with the idea, and I wasn't the only one that had that concept, that we were going to be reconciling all the accounts so that we could come up with whatever numbers were. And my annual rent is coming due. Now they're asking for reports from years back because apparently they lost those too, but they have them. And so now it's back on me. Yesterday, they had a PR person on a Spanish language radio, which I think has really pissed them off because I'm fluent in Spanish. And she was going on about la señora this and la señora that and this very, oh, but, you know, we relied on her. We looked to her to be compliant with her lease. And I'm like, you relied on me. I relied on you. And for 5+ years, it wasn't a problem. For 5+ years under Director Rotenberg, I didn't have to worry about somebody trying to do me dirty. If I could do something, they would say yes. If I couldn't do something, they would say no. I wish in hindsight that I had been more pessimistic and that I had been more cynical and that I had documented every conversation. And, you know, it's so frustrating because they're acting in bad faith.
Esther, I've seen the video, the surveillance video from your store. Again, not just code enforcement, but armed police. Miami Police Department comes in with kids and families and your employees. You were born in Cuba, came to the United States with your family when you were 5 years old after your father was identified by the Cuban military as a traitor to the revolution. How does that make you feel when you watch that surveillance video from your business?
It makes me feel like there's a fight I need to take on. Some of us have fight or flight. Clearly, I come from a long line of fight. So, you know, and you know, it's amazing. Some of the comments, people are like, well, maybe if you shut your big mouth. Yeah, if I shut my big mouth, you know what? We'd all be screwed.
You must be scared, though, too, right? Because this isn't a small fight.
Sure. I don't have the resources the city has. You know, when at 10:30 on a Sunday morning, you're receiving a termination letter by email from a director of a department. I mean, yeah, that's normal.
Esther, how many people are out of work at your business?
I have about 17 employees, including guides. I have about 13 regular employees, either part-time or full-time. And right now we're working with the community who's really come in support of us. And it's incredibly moving because, I mean, I knew people love this island, but I didn't expect that they would look at us in the same way. And so it's very touching and we're very appreciative of that. But right now it's, you know, I don't know what tomorrow brings. I'm trying to get all my ducks in a row, but I'm not going to stop fighting for this island.
You know, we talk about these characters like they're in a Carl Hiaasen novel, like they're larger than life and only in Miami and too crazy to be true. But the reality is when you allow this corruption to metastasize, when you allow someone like Joe Carollo to become an authoritarian, to become a third world dictator here in Miami, there are real victims. And the victims are business owners, small business owners, their employees. Esther's got 17 people out of work. Ball and Chain had dozens and dozens of people, and all of those people have families, have rent to pay in what is now the least affordable home market in the entire country. ¿Dónde está Mayor Ponzi Postalita? Wish, have you heard from anybody? Have you heard from commissioners? Have you heard from the mayor? All these people who are friendly to business and the environment and the beaches, and have you heard from anybody other than the community itself coming out to try to help? Have you heard from anyone in City Hall?
No, I have not. The only one we've heard from is Joe Carollo, who's gone on camera and, you know, done the whole disparaging comments and the whole everything. You know, he didn't send code enforcement, but he's gone on record saying everything is illegal. Everything's illegal. Everything here is illegal, that I exceeded my area. He was saying that I had containers. They're the city's containers. And then there was that I built illegally. It may be that the city didn't pull a permit for its own construction at the facility. And I think he thought he was going to stick that on me because it's something for the deck. And I'm not 100% sure on it, but I wouldn't put it past them. And in all honesty, if there's a problem with getting licensing, I wouldn't be surprised if it has to do with that because the county's involved on that end of it. So we're trying to figure out exactly why there was a holdup. You know, look, if you got someone that isn't in compliance, and I include myself in that, you tell them, hey, you're not in compliance. You need to get up to compliance. And then we work towards it.
Worst case scenario, Esther, this is a landlord-tenant dispute. The problem is the landlord is the city. What the city has done with this dictator, Joe Carollo, is they've criminalized these disputes when you have them with the city. In a situation where they literally, and they did this, the Ball and Chain owners also own this Taqueria restaurant on Calle Ocho. They came in one night, of course, prime time. They wait for the weekend when business is going to pick up and you could generate a lot of revenue just to screw your weekend and to screw your employees and their tips. These are not people living paycheck to paycheck. They're living tip jar to tip jar. And they came in and they arrested the manager of a bar and taco restaurant. Again, like Esther's manager, someone, a young person with a family, working a job, trying to make ends meet in this city, and no criminal record, and suddenly they're arresting them for going to work at night. It's outrageous.
Esther, what kind of recourse do you have?
At this point, it's legal. I'm trying to find attorneys to represent us. There are a few folks that are looking at the case and seeing how they can help in on a pro bono basis. You know, I'm not poor, but I don't have the resources to fight this. I'm fighting an entire city. I'm hoping that some of those eggs will hatch in the next day or two and that we'll be able to, you know, provide a response to the city and move forward. But for the business, we're packing up and we're moving out because we've been kicked out. And unless they change their minds, which, you know, I'm not counting on that, we're out of there by September 13th. Even today, I get another email from them asking for, you know, more stuff that they're supposed to have and changing terms that existed before. It's like you don't get to rewrite everything just because you want to get rid of me. All they had to do was terminate my agreement and tell me to leave, and I would have really had no recourse because it was the end of my agreement and they were within the right to do it. even though that's not the way it's done anywhere for a concession. Okay, but they could have done that and nobody would have been able to say anything. But instead, they decided to take punitive action and to punish me. And that's where the difference comes in. You are punishing me. You're trying to disqualify me from any future business with the city and with any other municipality, because then I would have to disclose that I've been debarred. So don't tell me that this isn't punitive action and that this isn't retaliatory, because some people are like, oh, this such and such owes 140,000 in rent. Maybe she shouldn't be talking. Okay, I don't know 140,000 in rent.
Bottom line is you spoke up, as is your right, and this is political revenge. And you're not only going against the city, I hate to tell you, as you know too well from being here your entire life, that you're also going against, you know, multi-billionaire developers and the real estate oligarchs that run this town, that own our politicians, and that property where your business is. And I'm sorry this is happening to you. Is there a GoFundMe? Is there any way to help support your 17 employees who are now out of work because of Joe Carollo's corruption and the failure of the state attorney, Kathy Rundle, and the Broward state attorney, Harold Pryor, to do anything about his corruption?
We have not set anything up. I know a few folks have asked if we have it, and I feel weird doing that. I mean, for the employees, I would love to do that. I already told them whatever I can get from the sale of the equipment, I'll put back towards their salaries, because in a normal situation, you close down, a new operator comes in, and then you have an opportunity to sell the stuff over and the employees have an opportunity to get hired.
Right.
But not here.
Oh, so you're selling the kayaks and the bicycles and the wakeboards and the paddle boards. Yeah.
I'm going to have to sell everything. Yeah.
Jesus.
Esther, I would urge you to get us some information on a GoFundMe so that the people who are moved by this that would be interested in helping you and your employees could at least do something here so you don't get just run over by train tracks because they can. Thank you, Esther,
Thank
for
you.
Sharing your story with us.
Thank you, and I'm sorry I had a naked man running behind us.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
We're presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code Dan for a special offer when you sign up. That's code Dan, only at DraftKings Sportsbook.
Congratulations to Fernand DeMondi. I believe he is the first two-time guest in the history of Because Miami. Why is he with us here today, Billy? Is it because he does research, he knows where the numbers lead us, and we've got some important voting that is coming up here in short order?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Fernand, in addition to being a poli-sci professor at the University of Miami, he's the managing partner of Bendixson DeMondi, which is the nation's leading multilingual and multi-ethnic public opinion research and strategic communications consulting firm. All that to say that we have a crucial primary in the state of Florida next week, and we wanted to update everyone on the state of the major races, or I should say the major race, which is, of course, the Democratic primary for governor, which right now the front runners are, of course, Charlie Crist. Charlie Crist is the former Republican governor of Florida.
This is f***ed up right here. This history of Charlie Crist is something to behold. We get nothing but bad people to choose from. So go ahead and give the people his history.
Charlie Crist is the former Republican governor turned independent senatorial candidate, turned Democratic congressional candidate, turned Democratic gubernatorial candidate. Do I have that right? Fernandez, who says Florida isn't the land of reinvention?
He doesn't stand for anything except getting elected however he can get elected.
I would argue that Charlie Crist saw the writing on the wall before many Republicans did. You've seen a lot of Republicans in the last 6 years say, I didn't leave the party left me. Charlie Crist was kind of the hipster Republican who said, this is not the party that I joined, that I was a governor representing in the state of Florida. And to his credit, he said, I was wrong. I was playing for the wrong team. And now he, Fernand, what is the polling now? Him against Nikki Fried, the current agriculture commissioner of the state of Florida, the only statewide Democrat elected here in Florida. What is the state of the race?
Well, Bill, I mean, the state of the race, by looking at the public and even some of the private polls that some have shared with me, suggests that Charlie's going to win this pretty comfortably, actually, on primary day. By all accounts, he's got a healthy double-digit lead, anywhere between, you know, 10 and 12 points. That might tighten, of course, between now and when the last ballots are cast on Tuesday, the 23rd. But by all indications, he's going to be the Democratic nominee. And, you know, when Dan was talking, the image that came to mind is kind of like Hulk Hogan. You know, he goes from being the hero to the heel back to being the hero. So we'll see if Christomania starts again on Tuesday for the Democrats if he pulls this out like the indications are he will.
Now, he has previously won a Democratic primary for governor. He ran against Rick Scott. Am I remembering this correctly?
It's just name recognition, correct? It's not his actual politics. It's that these names have been in Florida forever.
Well, Dan, you're right. That's part of it. Charlie kind of rose in politics on the bet that if he ran a couple of times for statewide office, he would eventually break on through. He did. And name recognition certainly helps a lot. But truth be told, one of the unique things about Charlie is he does have an ability to put together a coalition of support from obviously Democrats, independents, and some, certainly not a majority, not even close, but some Republicans. And if you remember that 2014 race when he ran against Voldemort, he came really, really close to beating Rick Scott in an election year that was really, really bad for Democrats across the country. That was the 2014 midterms. It was basically a Democratic wipeout. But in Florida, ironically, it was the state that was actually a lot closer because Charlie overperformed. By contrast, Andrew Gillum and Bill Nelson lost a state that they probably should have won in 2018. We were the only state in the country in 2018 that didn't perform well with the blue wave. So we'll see if the third time is the charm here for Crist.
But you set this up so that it's not very different. He's going up against a very well-funded demagogue in a midterm year that is not supposed to go well for Democrats, particularly in what I would argue is, I want to say, the red state of Florida. People still want to argue it's purple. Andrew Gillum only lost by, 32,000 votes against DeSantis 4 years ago. So what does Charlie Crist have to do? I mean, his next step, I guess, is choosing a running mate, choosing an LG, a lieutenant governor. That could make some noise on a national scale, that could get some donations to come in to go up against DeSantis's war chest. He is a national Republican figure right now. Everybody assumes if DeSantis does get reelected in November, he will be the next Republican president and destroy Trump.
So with that kind of money, he can't lose, can he?
Right. How does Charlie break through the DeSantis machine?
Well, look, I know you guys hate the politics of sports metaphors, but I can't resist on the Levitard podcast. This is very much, you know, Atlanta 28, New England 3 with 10 minutes left in the third quarter or whatever that storyline was. So is it impossible for Charlie to win? No. Does he have to make up a lot of ground? Yes. But the good news is that the conditions are starting to change, not just in Florida, but nationally. And I think it come down really to one issue, the overturning of Roe versus Wade. And what that has done, not so much only on the issue of the abortion debate, but rather how it paints a Republican Party that is just unhinged, so far outside of the mainstream and anti-freedom, that is creating a completely different frame through which voters, I think, are now looking at the 2022 midterms. So if Charlie runs a smart campaign going into the general and makes a lot of decisions that I think will help him and maybe put the wind at his back, he can pull off an upset. It's not over yet, but the odds are against him.
So if he wins, the next big decision is lieutenant governor. I mean, really, whoever wins, whether it's Nikki Fried or Charlie Crist, that'll be the next big press conference. So where do we go next then? What do the Democrats do to make that kind of noise and start to puncture some holes in DeSantis's armor?
You're absolutely right, Billy. And the big problem that the Democrats have, whether it's Charlie who wins or Nikki, right now, there is a lot of folks across the pundit class, across the donor class, that just don't think the race is winnable. So the race needs to be made national. It needs to be nationalized. It needs to be injected with, you know, a dose of something that says to people, you know what, we're re-energized, we're re-engaged. And I think there is a way to do that with the LG selection. Like presidential campaigns, people do not vote for vice president. They don't vote for LG, but they do vote for what the narrative frame of the election is about. And if you don't put DeSantis on the defensive, if you don't put him in a narrative box where he's having to defend things that he's done that are obviously outside of where the voters are, then I think he's going to want to play the on friendlier terrain. And I think the way Charlie or Nikki can do that is by picking one person that has emerged in the last couple of weeks on a silver platter for LG.
You've narrowed it down already?
It's better to be lucky than good. And Charlie and or Nikki, if she wins, we're going to be handed a very lucky plate here, because when DeSantis decided to suspend the duly elected, by the way, twice elected state attorney from Hillsborough County,
I see where you're going. Andrew Warren. We talked about this on the show. It happened, yeah, like minutes before we went on.
So this, by the way, is the first time a governor has suspended a state official that has not been suspended for malfeasance or indictment or any kind of law breaking. It is an illiberal, almost unconstitutional decision of DeSantis extracting political vengeance on someone who simply said, I'm going to defend the rights of women as we test the constitutionality of the overturning of Wade. That now becomes a pick because of his suspension, because he's someone who is also, I think, very qualified to be governor, if God forbid something were to happen to Charlie, if we were to win the race. Andrew Warren nationalizes the race. He makes this race a referendum on the rule of law with Charlie. Charlie would be sending a message and throwing down the gauntlet that this race is about protecting the rule of law. It's about standing up to DeSantis's increasing fascism, and that Charlie will protect the democracy that is what makes Florida and America great, Billy.
Well, that is big and bold, because what's the conversation nationally is that DeSantis's reelection is kind of a foregone conclusion, whether it's Nikki Fried or Charlie Crist. They're swimming against the tide. That would shake shit up, dude. I mean, that would get, like you said, Democratic donors nationally energized.
They don't have any other chance other than to surround the cause of Roe versus Wade and weaponize that.
Well, that said, Fernand, you are in the country the preeminent multilingual consultant and polling firm. Very often there's a conversation among the consulting class, particularly with Democrats and Republicans alike, about checking boxes and profiling potential candidates. We need a woman. We need a Hispanic. We need a person of color. This would be a ticket with two white men. Is that problematic?
Well, look, I mean, if Andrew Warren was Hispanic, I'd say pick Hispanic Andrew Warren, but it's not what this race is about. Mm. And look, take it from me. I mean, I have run statewide campaigns that have been successful because of the Hispanic vote, but that doesn't mean pandering necessarily by just checking a box and putting a Hispanic or an African-American or any other minority on the ticket for the sake of doing so. There is still a way to communicate to those voters that the candidates value what they're concerned about, that they're engaging in the community. And that can be done, I think, very effectively with Andrew Warren and Charlie Crist, even if it's two Anglo men on the ticket. It's not about playing the ethnic politics of, you know, checking a box, but rather what the campaign is willing to do and fight for and who they're fighting for. And I think if they could make that case, Billy, as Dan says, weaponize this issue, which is the galvanizing issue nationally, then I think they have a real chance to excite people and get others to take another look at this race so that they're going to open up their checkbooks and say, you know what? People are saying Florida's done. I don't think so. We got Tom Brady Warren on the ticket there, and maybe we can pull off the massive comeback and save the state in the process.
That said, I mean, this is kind of outside the box thinking, and it's the kind of bold move I think the Democrats need to energize not just that race, but the entire slate, because Andrew Warren was politically fired by the governor, removed from his duly elected office, twice elected in one of the largest counties, Hillsborough, in the Tampa Bay area, one of the largest counties in the state of Florida, because he'd said, I'm going to defend the rights of women and their doctors to make decisions about their bodily autonomy, as well as trans people in the state of Florida. But not only that, he could stand up there on a slate with Val Demings, who is running against Marco Rubio. She is not only a woman of color, but she is a retired police chief. So suddenly the Democrats are out there as the law and order party with a former police chief, with a former prosecutor saying we're taking a stand against the lawlessness, the anarchy, the authoritarianism and the fascism of a Republican Party that think that there is no rule of law anymore. That would be wild, dude.
Yeah, I mean, the one quality I've learned over the years, what gets people to vote for you and excited about you is when they think that you're going to go out and fight for them and defend their interests. And this kind of a move, and I'll admit, you know, it is a little bit unconventional, it is a little bold, but I don't really think it's that unconventional or that bold, because fundamentally, as you said, Warren is a twice elected state attorney, very respected, has a great record. He's also a young generational contrast to Charlie. It makes all the sense in the world, and it puts Florida back in play. And if you're a Democrat or someone that is concerned about DeSantis's encroaching authoritarianism, this is the type of move that's going to get the blood flowing and the juices pumping so that you can maybe do something and try and knock off DeSantis, who's got a lot of the advantages.
Right. Whoever it is, we have to eliminate this thought that the outcome of the Florida governor's race is a foregone conclusion. And to basically say, if the Democrats are going to go down, they're certainly going to go down fighting. They're going to make a real play at winning this race and not make some kind of safe decision about the LG.
Fernand continues to just speak to our audience with blood flowing and juices pumping and Tom Brady comebacks. He just tries to reach our audience. Thank you for trying to bridge the divide.
He wants to be the first three-time guest on Miami.
We appreciate it, Fernand. Thank you for being on with us, sir.
Thank you, Dan. Thank you, Billy.
Billy, talk to you next week. It's a big one.
Cocaines.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.